And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
The ocean, grand, powerful, covering 70% of the earth. Within its depths and upon its shores are fish, octopus, crabs, a million creatures that are not anything like us. But there are marine mammals, seals, dolphins, whales. They take our same breaths of air, they gather together like we do, and they have a belly button. Unfortunately, they get hurt and ill. And at times it is the fault of the mammal that rules the land. Then it is time to help our marine relatives. This is Bill Wood, and my guest today is Giancarlo Rulli, Associate Director, Public Relations for the Marine Mammal Center. Welcome, Giancarlo.
Pleasure, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
The Marine Mammal Center is the largest of its type in the world, but it had to start somewhere. When did the concern for our ocean brethren spawn the center?
It's a really unique story. The Marine Mammal Center was founded almost 50 years ago. We're coming up on our 50th anniversary next year. And it was three concerned citizens that came together and were able to found a site working with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, and the National Park Service to build a mini hospital at its very founding origin some 50 years ago out of a necessity need of seeing sick marine mammals come ashore and not have a local response agency there to take action.
Where is the center located?
So the Marine Mammal Center is part of a collection of organizations, part of NOAA's U.S. West Coast Marine Mammal Stranding Network. Our main hospital is just right across the Golden Gate Bridge in the Marin Headlands in Sausalito. It's where all of the animals that we rescue along the California coast are transported. We cover 600 miles of California coast, or roughly 70%, all the way up in Mendocino County, all the way down to San Luis Obispo County. We have two smaller triage centers, one in Moss Landing in Monterey County. We have another in Morro Bay. Additionally, in recent years, some 10 years ago, the center expanded our operations as well to the Big Island of Hawaii, where we have the only hospital dedicated to the conservation of the endangered Hawaiian monk seal. Cover a lot of ground, part of a really important collection of rescue and response organizations here in the United States.
If you're covering a lot of ground, how many mammals are treated at the center?
So it's highly variable. In an average year, we're roughly taking in, Bill, about 800 seals and sea lions and other marine mammals per year in terms of rescues. That number has ballooned to as many as 1,800 back in 2015 when the ocean was in an ongoing fever where fish stocks were moving far away and animals were having a tough time locating food. And we saw just 1,000 California sea lion pups alone that year. Variable year to year based on the health and the condition of the ocean, but roughly that 800 number has historically been the average.
A person's walking down the beach, they observe what appears to be an injured seal, although sometimes we're not the experts that really know, but it looks that way. What should they do?
So the biggest thing for the public, there are eyes and ears out there. We get roughly 15 to 17,000 calls a year to our response hotline. We gather that information and then deploy trained responders to evaluate, as you say, is the animal just resting or is there a potential ailment or injury that's going to require a rescue? In the meantime, after that reporting party or public person that's on the beach calling our hotline reports it, we ask that they stay at least 50 yards back or 150 feet to not cause additional stress to the animal or inadvertently flush it back into the ocean before our responders can arrive. If you're going to take a photo of a marine mammal, again, keeping that safe distance, the public plays a big role in the conservation of these animals, but they're wild, and we want to keep those instincts wild as much as possible so that we can return them back to the ocean after they're treated. So those are really two of the key big things that we ask. Call the hotline, keep your distance, and if you're going to take a photo, make sure you're using your Zoom.
Well, and as they say on radio, what is that number?
415-289-SEAL. 7325, and that hotline is for our entire 600-mile California response range. And you'll then be hooked up with a dispatcher that will ask you some questions about what you're seeing, describing the situation. And then at that point, if based on the reporting description, it merits sending out a trained volunteer responder to evaluate, we'll then take those next steps.
Now, when you do have a injured animal seemingly too injured to return to the ocean, what happens to them?
It can vary. We see a lot of disease. We, of course, see human impact as well. As it relates to an animal that is not able to be returned to the wild because of either fatal disease or from a humane side of things, we do elect with our trained veterinarians humane euthanasia. Whether that's something like fatal cancer in sea lions, 1 in 4 adult sea lions that comes to our hospital have a form of fatal urogenital cancer, for example. For the animal that's been treated but maybe had to have a flipper amputation or had an inoculation where the eye was removed and our veterinarians deem that it likely may not be successful in the wild, that's where we'll work with our partners at local zoos and aquariums around the country to try to place that animal. In general, though, that is less than 1% of the animals that are rescued, so that specific component of your question is actually quite a rare occurrence year to year.
Right now, the humpback whales are in the bay. They're going to be subject to injury from boats and ships. How do you help them?
For large whales, you're absolutely correct. For folks that are, you know, along the San Mateo coast listening to this program all the way up into the bay, San Francisco proper and Marin County, it's a foraging feeding frenzy, more layperson's term right now, off the coast. It's an amazing opportunity to view whales from onshore. With that being said, we are seeing, of course, a fair amount of whales enter San Francisco Bay. Since 2016, humpback whales have been coming back year over year, coming into the bay, going after even fish stocks that enter the bay and then exiting out. The big thing for these whales is we can't bring in a whale of that size to our hospital. But what we do is in the event of an entanglement, for example, we have highly trained teams along with our partners at NOAA that will go out to respond to an entangled whale and try to remove whatever entanglement, whether it's plastic entanglement, derelict fishing gear, for example, to proactively remove that gear. We also respond to whales that, say, were struck by a vessel and come ashore sick to do a full necropsy or animal autopsy with our partners at the California Academy of Sciences. And that information is vital to then pass along to the public, to stakeholders, to really get a sense of what's impacting these whales so that we can get ships to slow down. Also alert vessel traffic of when there's heavy frequency of whales in a given area like there is right now.
As with any organization of this type, beyond the experts, you need volunteers. What are the opportunities for people to become involved with the center?
And this is speaking from the heart. Myself, I've been an animal care volunteer for 20 years before I moved into doing communications. I mean, I still volunteer every Friday. Volunteers, though, are the backbone of the Marine Mammal Center. There's 1,400 active volunteers between our operations here in California and Hawaii. They contribute upwards of 150,000 volunteer service hours every year, and that equates to millions of dollars in terms of labor for a nonprofit organization like ourselves. Anything from working behind the scenes in animal care to being a docent, a responder, to helping out with educational programs or in the lab on the research side. Volunteers are working side by side with our veterinarians, our experts, and could not do the work without them. So to summarize, there's an opportunity for everyone. We have volunteers that are 16 years old in our youth crew program all the way up into their 90s. And I think that's what really makes the Marine Mammal Center unique. It's a very hands-on organization and highly skilled, lots of training, but there's really a niche for everyone that wants to get involved.
We've come a long way since the day of captive orcas for entertainment, and yet if we'd not captured them, perhaps we would have never known of their intelligence and emotions, but they paid a price for our ignorance. How do we learn about marine mammals today without removing them from their natural environment?
It's a great question, an important and timely question as well. I think the important thing for folks to highlight or to think about, and I will just speak for the number one patient that we respond to that's very well known here in the Bay Area, the California sea lion. California sea lions are really a sentinel for ocean health. They offer this unique window into the health of what's going on in the ocean and often are an early alert system for wider issues of going on, whether it's a toxic algal bloom, for example, that for the last month in San Luis Obispo County has been actively causing seizures in dolphins and sea lions and is an early alert to understanding that that specific toxin can also shut down fisheries, whether it's the Dungeness crab fishery or enters our seafood. When we respond to these marine mammals and bring them in for care with the goal of releasing them back out to the wild, we're learning so much, not only about the condition of that individual, but a wider swath of what's the impact going on with the population in terms of seeing trends? How does that impact what's going on out in the ocean in terms of its overall health? And how does that in turn impact human health as well? That's one of many examples, but there's so much that's being gleaned, not just in the animal care side, but on the research side as well, related to what these individual animals that we're responding to are telling us on a wider picture.
Finally, which is most important, how do we contact the Marine Mammal Center?
Lots of ways to get involved. We have a wonderful website that dives into some of the things that I've explained to your listeners today. It's marinemammalcenter.org to report a marine mammal in distress. As we talked about earlier, that hotline is a great thing to have in your back pocket if you're visiting the California coast. 415-289-SEAL, 7325. If you're interested in coming to the Marine Mammal Center to see what we do and the animals that are in our care, we're open Friday through Monday from 10 to 4, and you can see those hours and look at various tour opportunities as well on our website. It's a great time to come join. We have roughly about 40 to 50 or so animals currently in care right now. The weather's great. Come on out. It's really a great opportunity to learn about the marine mammals that we have in our backyard and what you can do to be part of the solution.
Well, Giancarlo, I want to thank you for joining us and providing a glimpse into the inspiration that guides us to help our brethren in the sea and, of course, ultimately, ourselves.
Bill, it's my pleasure. Really appreciate you having me on.
My guest today has been Giancarlo Rulli, Associate Director, Public Relations for the Marine Mammal Center. We are a mammal that likes to sing, and so does the whale. I hear that tune is on the Undersea Hit Parade. For the feature story of the week, this is Bill Wood.
Bill Wood with a whale of a tale to tell. Our thanks to Bill for our feature story of the week. For Radio Magazine, I'm Jim Henderson.